I'm JP Tuesday.
And I'm Kiki Cannon. We've been Disney fans our entire lives. And now, as childless adults, we're undertaking a journey through the media that shaped our lives.
Trying to find out if what made them special is still there.
We are Rewatching the Magic.
Hi, Kiki.
Hi, Tuesday.
While most of our listenership is in the United States, for those of you who are not in the United States, you can know what's going on. It's been a week here in the States.
There's been a lot of numbers and counting and waiting and more numbers.
The waiting is the hardest part.
I've done more math this week than I ever have in my entire life, and I do not appreciate.
And you're a teacher.
Well, yeah, but I don't teach math.
Oh, boy. What a... We are recording this on Friday. So, but hopefully by the time this episode goes up on Monday, the worrying will be over, but we'll see.
Yeah, there will hopefully be an answer by Monday. Let us all hope and pray that by the time you listen to this, there is an answer. But... Moving on to happier thoughts in our sleep-deprived status.
That's our sleep-deprived status. A little bit of news. The trailer for the upcoming Lego Star Wars Holiday Special dropped. And that actually looks pretty fun. It's one thing. I mean, it's not the first time Lego has done a Star Wars anything. I mean, there's two whole series on Disney Plus of Lego Star Wars stuff. And I do like that as the whole Lego thing is that they can poke fun of whatever IP they're using, but still show that they have a lot of love for that IP.
Yeah, I really love that they're doing it in a very similar style to the Lego Batman stuff, which I really loved. Mm-hmm. I really think that they just nailed the perfect tone on the Lego Batman stuff, and it seems like the trailer for the Lego Holiday Special, Star Wars Holiday Special, is gonna be very similar in tone.
Mm-hmm.
That it knows the deep lore and it respects the deep lore, but it's not gonna take it too seriously.
Yeah. And it's a non-canon story anyway, so everyone who's going to get bent over it, just have fun. It's just a little fun, a little special. And when that drops next week, hopefully everyone will enjoy it, because everyone enjoys
it. Yeah, and I love that when I listened when I watched the trailer, I was like, ooh, I can peg a few of those voices as Mark Hamill, and none of them are the voices you would expect from him.
Well, Hamill has done the Lego stuff in the past. He has actually voiced Luke Skywalker in at least one of them.
Yeah, I mean, he might be doing Luke, but Luke didn't say enough for me to really peg the voice. I haven't looked it up on IMDb, so this is totally going off of, you know, just my ear. But it did to me sound like he was doing Palpatine, which he has done before in Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did it in Robot Chicken. He did it somewhere where he did a Palpatine voice. And then...
That definitely sounds like Billy Dee Williams as Lando, though.
It could be. He definitely did Lando for Robot Chicken at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's Mark Hamill doing his Harrison Ford impression for Han Solo. He does a remarkable Harrison Ford impression if you've never heard him do it. And I'm pretty sure that's it in the trailer. He also did that one on Robot Chicken. So, yeah. So it looks like it's going to be fun. I am super excited about it. I love everything about it, and I hope it's going to be, you know, however long it is of just silliness and joy.
All right, let's move on to what we're really talking about here. Another dive into the Disney afternoon. Because, you see, once upon a time in Toontown, there was a cat that had it all. Fortune and fame. Top of the game. Up until he hit the wall. Then he became a cop. cracking down on crime. Time to go bonkers.
Yeah, totally nuts.
Bonkers.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
Bonkers.
Someone's stealing the show. JT, I gotta go, go. Oh, no.
Bonkers.
Things getting out of control. Now you're caught in a trap, ready to snap. Trapping the cap and taking the rap, but you can't hold back that wacky attack. No matter why, you're still a star. Cause you're
bonkers.
Bonkers.
Yeah, totally nuts.
Totally nuts. And this is a special request made by our good friend Vega from a few weeks ago. And
our Hocus Pocus buddy.
Yeah, our third witch. And today, as we were recording this, it's actually Vega's birthday. So we're recording Vega's request on her actual birthday. Happy birthday, Vega.
Happy birthday, Vega.
Though it'll be a few days afterward. Happy late birthday, Vega.
Oh, so yeah.
We've kind of mentioned bonkers before.
Yeah, but what is? I want to know, what is your kind of personal connection to bonkers? Were you like super into this when it was on the air? Or?
I first saw bonkers on Raw Tunage, which we've had mentioned before. This is a show that introduced Schnookums and Meat and another character, Marsupilami. And Raw Tunage was this hodgepodge show. They would show different shorts of different characters every week. And the first few episodes were kind of having a guest host. I remember one episode, the guest host was Sebastian the Crab. And I remember that airing on Saturday mornings. And then Bonkers, for me, my first exposure to this version of Bonkers was actually on the Disney Channel. 9 episodes of the Miranda Wright episodes actually aired first on the Disney Channel. And then it was announced that Bonkers was going to move from the Disney Channel to the Disney Afternoon. And now there's a fat guy named Lucky Pakel as his partner. That's the weird thing about this show is that they made an entire season with one main character or a partner for Bonkers, decided this is not going to work. And then a completely new season with a completely different partner, and then tried to connect those two seasons together somehow.
See, for me, it was a little different. I don't know how much I actually saw of Raw Tunage as its own show.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was introduced to all the characters via other things.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Bonkers first on Disney Afternoon, just mm-hmm. because I watched the Disney Afternoon and it was part of it. I had no real connection to this show as a show on its own. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of what was in the block.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Lucky being the first partner,
mm-hmm.
and then them getting rid of that for a chick.
Yeah,
in my little kid brain, because that's the order I saw him. So in my little kid brain, I was like, well, obviously.
Yeah, let's get the big one out of the way, the one that everyone talks about, how a lot of people see the similarities between Bonkers and Roger Rabbit. You have a toon star teaming up with a detective, and they're on the beat solving crime. And a lot of people to this day will say that this was a Roger Rabbit series, an attempt at a Roger Rabbit series. And we've talked about this before with our Roger Rabbit episode. They needed to get Spielberg's permission to use Roger Rabbit because it's a 50-50 ownership. And to bypass that, they just created their own character. To the point where even this Bonkers was made fun of on Animaniacs. That's how petty Spielberg got about that. There's at least one cartoon that I know of which Slappy Squirrel kind of says,
No wonder you like that Bonkers show. That junk's rotting out your brain there.
So Spielberg was not too happy about Bonkers as a show. Probably why we haven't seen Roger in a while because of that.
I'm going to say, I know that the creators of the series have said, like, no, we always meant Bonkers to be its own thing. I mean, yeah, we may have gotten the idea of, like, what if a toon was a cop from Roger Rabbit, but, like, it's a... And I got to tell you, we'll get into this more in a bit. I do not buy that. I was watching those episodes after having recently us watched Roger Rabbit again, so it's very fresh in my mind. And all I can think is, this is at least the lucky episodes are Roger Rabbit with the serial numbers filed off and not even completely filed off.
Lucky acts a lot like Eddie Valiant in the fact that he doesn't like tunes. He's just very surly. He's not drunk because it's supposed to be a kid show. And they did add a wife and daughter in for him. But he's very much Eddie Valiant in that sourpuss mentality.
You would have to take me back in a time machine to follow the creators around for me to believe that there's nothing there.
And like we said, Spielberg believes that this was an attempt to go around the ownership of Roger Rabbit, you know?
Yeah. Even when you get Miranda into it, it still feels like Roger Rabbit with a female sidekick to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're not buying it. The official position of the show is we're not buying that excuse. This is Roger Rabbit with the serial numbers filed off.
Yeah. And we're not reviewing the first official episode. But the way the show puts it up that Roger is a big time cartoon TV star, his show gets canceled and he's fired from the studio, trying to find some sort of new way to live. He ends up running into Donald Duck in the park, in some park in Hollywood, while he's being mugged, and ends up catching the crook. He's then made a cop and paired up with Lucky Pickell. And that is the show.
Yeah. I mean, nailed it.
That is the first episode. I don't need to go into any more details on it. We don't need to make a full episode on it. That's the show. But so let's kind of get into who's in this show. Mostly who is half this cast.
It's Jim Cummings. It's our old friend Jim Cummings again. It's Winnie the Pooh. It's Tigger. It's Tasmanian Darkwing Devil. Duck. Darkwing Duck. It's Jim Cummings. You know Jim Cummings. He is a large chunk of your childhood.
He plays both Bonkers D. Bobcat and Detective Lucky Pickell. So it's a lot of Jim Cummings talking to himself.
Yeah, and he also does a lot of the side voices as well. Most of the other side voices we're not even really going to get into. It is a who's who of people we've talked about before. Frank Welker's in this a lot. Charlie Adler is in this a lot. Maurice LaMarche is in this a lot. Nancy Cartwright is in this. April Winchell is in that. It's all people we've talked about before. I don't think there's a single person in this cast that we haven't mentioned before in another episode. So, you know.
Honestly, if you were watching the Disney Afternoon, they picked from their regular pool of voice actors for this one.
Yeah, they just picked people who were constantly on cartoons in the 90s. It was a voice acting has always been a relatively small community, and this is no exception.
Yeah.
We got one person we got to talk about, because there is one person in this cast we have not talked about before.
Go ahead.
And that is Miss Miranda Wright herself.
Yes. And the fact that her name is a pun.
Yeah, I love the name. I love the name Miranda Wright. If you're not American, look up the Miranda Wrights, Wrights. But she is played by an actress named Carla DeVito, who doesn't seem to have a large career in voiceover, strangely. But she was kind of bouncing around doing vocals for, like, Meatloaf and his collaborator Jim Steinman and Blue Oyster Cult, and she opened for like Rick Springfield in the 80s and stuff like that. So I mean, she was kind of bouncing around in both musical theater and on stage with associated rock acts. But interestingly, to the Disney side of things, she is married to Mr. Robbie Benson himself, the voice of the Beast.
Yeah, and they apparently, before we recorded, you told me they've been married a long time.
They have been married since 1982. They have been married basically our entire lives. They apparently met on Broadway in a production of Pirates of Penzance. So good for them.
Good for them.
Yeah.
So let's...
So that's basically the cast. It's a who's who, and our Miss Carla DeVito here, who's kind of the one kind of weird outstander of this, as the fact that she wasn't really a heavily working voice actress, it seems, at the time.
All right. So yeah, even though the Miranda episodes technically aired first via the Disney Channel, we are going to go by the Disney Afternoon order. And speaking of episode order, Disney Plus, get your poop together and get your shows in the right order.
Yeah, Disney Plus lists everything as season one.
And it's true, all of these aired in one calendar year, so I can understand that. Because this was all Monday through Friday. But divide these episodes up easier. You could at least, there are at least two. You can divide this into two seasons between the Lucky and the Miranda episodes. You can divide this into four seasons if you really wanted to. Or at least, again, have these episodes in the right order. Because the episode order is all over the place. Like the pilot episode with Bonkers and Lucky getting together is like halfway through this list.
Yeah, it's an absolute mess. And just because of the fact that this... I'm not going to say this is not a well-remembered, really one of the ones you hear people talk about in the same vein as some of the other Disney Afternoon.
Yeah,
you know, it's not up there with DuckTales or Gargoyles or something like that.
Yeah. You can hear more people talking about Quack Pack than Bonkers.
And because of that, a lot of like the typical wiki information stuff is rather scarce for the show.
Yeah, you have to go to the hardcores. And yeah, there apparently are some hardcore Bonkers fans that put other stuff in right order. Bless them.
Yes, not a lot of them. Bless anybody who works on like a Disney wiki or edits for Wikipedia or anything, or does cool behind the scenes videos on YouTube and stuff, because you help make this show possible, let me tell you.
All right, so let's go to our first Lucky episode that we're going to be talking about, In the Bag, which is technically episode 3. So the pullout of this episode is Lucky and Bonkers are summoned to the home of the Mad Hatter, Cameo, who has reported a theft, the theft of his teacups. That is a big crime in the cartoon world if the Mad Hatter's teacups have been stolen.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have tea time.
Tea time. Apparently, in this cartoon, the Mad Hatter lives in the Hollywood H, the H of the Hollywood sign.
Would you really expect anything different? I mean, come on, it's the Mad Hatter.
Wouldn't he live in a giant T?
But there's no T in Hollywood.
I kind of like this idea of the Hollywood sign being sort of like apartments for cartoon characters.
I think, to be honest, that's kind of what you want the Hollywood sign to be. Like, if you've never been to L.A. and you don't know what that looks like in reality... Like, if it's just like an image in the movies to you, that's kind of what you want it to be. You want it to be like a hotel you can go stay at.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I went and stayed in the Y in the Hollywood sign. It was awesome. But, you know, it's just like some sheet metal painted white or something. You know, it's like it's not covered in graffiti or whatever.
And they give in this episode no mystery. There's no, the camera is straight on this bag that apparently the Hatter and March Hare own, that it kind of snickers on camera. Like, there is no mystery. Granted, this show was made for little kids, so you can't have that big Law and Order style whodunit mystery.
Yeah, what would this be rated today? Like a Y7 or something?
Yeah, because there is a bit of slapstick cartoon violence. This is, for a Disney cartoon, they really do lean into the slapstick. Really also putting it more into the Roger Rabbit vibe.
Yeah, the plots to all these episodes are very thin. It's going to sound like we're skipping over the plots, but we're really not, because every plot in this is basically an elevator pitch that has been surrounded by slapstick bits.
Yeah, gotta wonder what happened to Alice. Well, Alice is a princess. Obviously, she's probably living in the Disney castle.
Yeah, but the entire point of this is stuff is being stolen by a handbag because he said Mad Hatter doesn't pay enough attention to him. He just wants friends.
Yeah, and it is kind of sad. I mean, they do. It is a bit of a redemption arc for the bag, and he's not really a bad guy. He just wants attention, which, for a cartoon, it makes sense. He's not a villain. He just wants someone to like him.
The kind of main important part to this that is for the bonkers continuity, such as it is that this really does show us that Lucky wants a promotion. Like, he's a very ambitious cop. He doesn't just want to be kind of a beat cop with a tune partner his entire life.
Yeah, he wants, it seems like he's more concerned with his pay level, his position in the force, versus actually being a cop. That has no actual, you know, reference in 2020 at all.
Yeah, but it does show that he's ambitious. He wants, you know, there's a whole B storyline about an inspector coming to see him to evaluate his work and all that kind of stuff. But that part kind of shows you who Lucky is. He's ambitious. He wants to be thought a good cop.
He wants recognition for his skill.
Yeah. Which,
again, it's good to, I mean, that's, you, any person who is good at their job wants recognition. And it's just, it feels like he's been passed over. He just wants to be seen as worthy of the badge, really.
Yeah, this is a good episode as far as the show goes, because it shows the difference between what Lucky wants and what Bonkers wants. And Lucky wants he wants to be recognized by other cops. He wants to be recognized by the public, maybe. He wants a pay raise. He wants a promotion. That's the kind of stuff he wants. Bonkers just really wants to, he just wants Lucky to
like him
and be his friend and say good job.
He also wants to just help people. That's kind of him. As he takes his, yes, he's a cartoon character and he's silly, but he likes being a cop. He likes helping people. That's in, even when it's to the point where Lucky just says, you know, I'm not going to go to the Mad Hatter's house. I'm going to stay here and wait for the inspector like we're supposed to. Bonkers just says, people are in danger and we need to help them.
Yeah.
Which is, it makes, both of them are good cops in their own way. Bonkers just wants to help people. And you have Lucky, who just wants to be recognized for his service. That doesn't make him bad, but it makes them, their goals are very different, like you said.
Yeah. Let's kind of move on to the next episode, because a lot of this does connect. These are actually, like, thank you, Vega, for choosing, like, some really good episodes for us to talk about as far as how they connect to each other.
Yeah. Yes, these are episodic episodes, and there's no overall storyline, but there are definitely character developments between these episodes. So we will skip ahead to the episode Basic Spraining. Lucky and Bonkers are kind of chasing after this villain, this criminal, who apparently is some kind of master of disguise.
I love the name on this guy. Slippery McSlime.
Yeah, that is such a cartoon name. I'm surprised that he's not a toon villain.
Yeah, he's meant to be a human villain, but he's got a very toon name, which I kind of like.
And it kind of shows Bonkers' intuition as a cop, because there, when we first start the episode, Lucky wants to be chasing after the criminal, McSlime, but they're chasing after this very slow moving old lady, invoking the song Little Old Lady from Pasadena.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard the song, go ahead, listen to it. It's an old song, but it's actually pretty funny. So they're pretty much chasing this little old lady from Pasadena who's driving slower than the speed limit. And Bonkers is convinced that this old lady is McSlime because he's supposed to be a master of disguise. No one's caught him. He has eluded police capture for seemingly years. And his intuition is correct as the little old lady reveals himself to be McSlime. And we go through this whole thing of cop rules. Now, Lucky is a very by-the-books cop. He's a sourpuss and doesn't like tunes a lot, but he's very by-the-book. Essentially the good cop, if you want to go that way.
Well,
while Bonkers just wants to do things his way. The cartoon way.
Well, I'm going to disagree with that in a little bit. Like, that's the very surface reading, but if you listen to the actual things that Lucky says, because he's always saying, like, you know, cop rule number 47 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you actually listen to the ones he's saying, it'll be like, you know, cop rule number 47, no destruction of public property. And you're like, okay, that's a cop rule. Good job. Okay. And then it'll be like, cop rule number 200, don't talk to me while I'm eating my sandwich. And you're like, oh, I see what you're doing.
Cop rule number 45, the senior officer always goes first.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing where, you know, it does feel like Lucky is using that to take advantage of Bonkers, both, you know, his naivete and his rather, you know, rookie status on the force.
And yeah, Lucky goes in because he's a senior cop. He can capture him. And Bonkers says, let me go with you. I can help you. No, you're still a rookie. I can do this. And Lucky gets captured by McSlime. On cue, Bonkers has impeccable timing. He's counting it down. 3, 2, 1. Bonkers, help!
Yeah.
And Bonkers actually almost captures McSlime using a very unorthodox method, but Bonkers being Bonkers kind of screws it up as Lucky gets covered in cement, which leads McSlime to get away.
I'm not letting you put that one on Bonkers. Lucky was the one that distracted Bonkers, which led to his own fate.
True. Bonkers, if it wasn't for Lucky, the crook would have been captured. Well, because Lucky wanted to make the arrest. He didn't want Bonkers to get the arrest. So it's a bit of a selfishness on Lucky's part.
Yeah, I think that goes back to what we were just talking about in the last episode, is that he wants the credit, he wants the recognition. Bonkers just wants to help people. Neither of those are necessarily bad, but in this case, Lucky's desire to be the one to make the arrest actually cost them the crook.
Yeah. And while the police chief is congratulating Lucky because no one has ever gotten that close to capturing McSlime before, general public isn't so happy because they let the criminal get away. Fair point.
And also Bonkers destroyed a bit of public property.
Yeah.
So that one is on bonkers.
Yeah. But we see McSlime has slipped a little piece of paper into their office. Somehow he got into the police office, slipped them a little piece of paper that says that Bonkers needs to go back to basic training. He needs to go back to the academy. Technically, he never went to the academy because he was just deputized on the spot. So
yeah, but now he's got to go through training. But unfortunately,
yeah, we find out that the police academy, or at least this particular police academy, is a scam run by McSlime to get rid of Bonkers. Because if Bonkers fails out of the academy, he has to turn in his badge.
Yeah.
Now, this is okay for Lucky at first, because he has to go. It's 2 weeks of training, which means Bonkers is out of Lucky's hair for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But then we kind of see that he kind of sort of misses Bonkers.
Well, we need to set up the B storyline to this one, because this one does actually have a really good B storyline as well.
But
this is their 1 month anniversary of partnership.
Yeah, so they have been partners officially for 1 month at this point, and we actually, this is at least for our this particular viewing, we kind of see Lucky's wife and daughter as they set up this little party to celebrate their 1 month partnership that Bonkers put together, complete with cake.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love cake?
Yeah. And who goes through that for depending on kind of relationship you have, 1 month is a big deal or 1 month is kind of nothing, depending.
Yeah. But Bonkers has Bonkers has found something important. He considers Lucky a really good friend who is helping him on this new chapter in his life, and he wants to celebrate. So, you know, they throw this surprise party, except Bonkers isn't there because he's gone off to basic training so he can become a better cop, so he can get Lucky to like him more.
And it's kind of a guilty thing, because, you know, there's a picture from their first case. And he kind of looks at it, and he's kind of smiling, like, yeah, hey, Bonkers is kind of all right after all. And
yeah, this will look good in the office, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, he gets a call from McSlime, or the police instructor, and telling him that to come down because, you know, to see Bonkers. Because McSlime has figured out that it's not just Bonkers, it's the collaborative effort between Lucky and Bonkers that makes them a good team. So he doesn't just want to get rid of Bonkers, he wants to get rid of both of them so that he can never get caught. And it isn't even implied in the episode early that they know each other already. McSlime even considers Pakel his nemesis.
Yeah. There's some kind of, you know, a background there.
Yeah. And so while Lucky at first shrugs it off, he kind of gets that guilt trip that the other two members of the Force have kind of put on him, that if Bonkers fails out of the academy, he has to leave the Force. And yeah, he's kind of grown attached to Bonkers, so he's going to go down to the academy and kind of help him out.
Yeah.
And he even puts his own job on the line. If he fails, he's off the Force too.
Yeah, they're going to take the test together. They're going to work as a team. And it's either both pass or both fail and lose their jobs.
Which, after only knowing someone a month and you're going to put yourself out like that, it's a good partnership. It's a good friend. And it shows that Lucky actually does care about Bonkers.
Especially since we've now established how much he cares about his job.
Yeah. And we eventually find out that there's a nice little sort of like ride at Disneyland style of police driving course.
Yeah, I did like that.
That Bonkers has to go in and, yeah, even a, I want to say almost a cameo of Scrooge McDuck's money bin as part of the set.
Yeah, they did a lot of crossovers with this show because he was kind of living in the quote-unquote real world with the actors who played in the, you know.
I mean, we've established Donald Duck was in the first episode. So, like, all of the cartoons live in this world. And we've seen, you know, the classics like March Hare and Mad Hatter. Eventually, we find out that, you know, McSlime reveals himself. Like, you two are terrible cops. You couldn't catch anything. You couldn't even catch me. And it's with the unorthodox, well, straight up, McSlime tries to kill them by running them over with a bulldozer.
He tried to kill me with a fork, a bulldozer.
Toon magic to the rescue as Bonkers pulls a Wile E. Coyote and paints a tunnel on the wall like the Roadrunner and passes through it. And Lucky cannot pass through the wall because he's human. You know, Toon logic doesn't work for humans. And Bonkers reaches up to him, say, remember the rule, the number one rule of being a Toon, there are no rules. And he's trying to tell them, there are no rules, there are no rules, there are no rules. And at first it doesn't work, because he's pretty much getting squished by this forklift. And Bunker says, well, all you need is a guide. And he pulls him into the hole as the bulldozer crashes into the wall. Yeah. Now you have me saying forklift.
Now I know. But I had to make that joke.
I know. And then he says, well, now we got to go back and capture McSlime. Don't worry. The train will do it. Train? Yeah. Every time anyone paints a hole in a wall, a train falls through it. Again, cartoon logic. This is straight out of Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons.
Yeah. You can't have a tunnel without a choo-choo.
Yeah. And they end up capturing McSlime. They actually captured this villain that's been eluding them for years through cartoon logic. Actually, this actually will come up in one of the Miranda episodes later on. We'll get to that.
Yeah. I liked this episode better than the first one we watched because it had a more coherent storyline. The Mad Hatter one did not really. It was just kind of a sequence of events that happened. But this one had, like, motive and character development, and like, it felt like a real TV show.
Yeah. And if I were to show anyone an episode, I think that would be like the first one I would show someone. This is what the show is about.
Yeah, it's a pretty good introductory episode.
So let's move on to the third episode. We're going to be talking about New Partner on the Block. Because after the Lucky episodes ended, they still had these Miranda episodes that they were not doing anything with. So they round up the season by airing the Miranda episodes. Well, the Miranda episodes and the Lucky episodes are very different from each other, including a different set of characters. So if you're going to have these Miranda episodes part of this world, you need to write off a few. So New Partner on the Block is the official introduction of Officer Miranda Wright and the farewell of Lucky Pickell. So apparently a domestic terrorist has been threatening Hollywood to blow up.
The 90s, when you could get away with domestic terrorism in your children's show.
Domestic terrorism in the United States. Yeah. Pre-9/11. And he's asking for a ransom, or he'll blow up the entire city. Quick side note, they never say Los Angeles in this show. It's always specifically referred to as Hollywood. I kind of like that. Like it's only that one section of Los Angeles. It's never said the greater Los Angeles area. It's always just Hollywood.
Well, it's also a little bit, I think, to separate it from the real world. Because in the real world, you think of Hollywood and Los Angeles as interchangeable, but it's like, no, we're specifically within the fiction that is the metaphor of Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's not actually a physical location. It's just, you know, Hollywood, where they make the movies, and there are cartoons everywhere.
So anyway, they're going after this domestic terrorist, and Lucky and Bonkers kind of... It's Bonkers that kind of figures it out, because the picture we see of the terrorist is he's eating peppers. And apparently there's only one store in all of Hollywood that sells this particular brand of peppers. So they actually have to go on a kind of a stakeout. Lucky kind of does a very, very bad undercover costume to try to get into the store as a salesperson. But they eventually find the terrorist and chase him down to his hideout. Lucky is going to go in there himself. We've established that Lucky likes to do things solo without Bonkers' help, and trips the bomb. We have a death.
I was really shocked when I watched this, because they like slow-mo action movie this nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, you see the, like, shockwave of the bomb rotating out and, like, debris coming and Bonker's face kind of twisting from the, you know, the glass on the windshield of the cop car getting shattered and if I was 7 watching this, this is a terrifying scene.
And that was just the first act, kids.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the fact that they kind of do like a you know, like a music sting right after it, you know, that's like, you know, I've just watched my partner blow up and all that's left of him is a shoe.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and now wacky interstitial music commercial.
Because it still is a kid's show. You can't have the kids. You can't traumatize the kids yet.
Yeah, but it's like, why even do that? Because they went a little bit farther with it than they necessarily... Like, they didn't need, like, all the slow motion Bonkers reacting to, like, oh my god. You know, like it...
Someone wanted this to be their Emmy-nominated episode.
Yeah, it's a really weird tone, even for this show.
So yeah, now the police chief, who is apparently, we haven't mentioned him, but he's kind of an idiot, who wants to do this big eulogy for Lucky, and the best things he can come up with is he's tall and fat.
Fat jokes. Yeah. Thanks, 90s cartoons.
And this is where we are properly introduced to Miranda, who apparently doesn't even go to this precinct. We find this out later in the episode, but why is she at this particular precinct? It's never explained.
I don't even go to this school.
Maybe because of the terrorist that they kind of called in various officers from various precincts.
I guess.
Anyway, so they kind of do this memorial dinner for Lucky. That, again, Bonkers had just met Miranda like that day, and she's already invited to this dinner because we have to establish these two as a team because they're going to be the team going forward. It turns out Lucky didn't die. Because this is a kid show. Lucky has been captured by the terrorist, who is upset because he blew up the bomb and now he has to get more bomb materials to make a new bomb. And we haven't mentioned this yet, but apparently the terrorist has also kidnapped a member of the FBI and is holding him hostage. I don't know if we ever got a name for this FBI guy. I don't remember it.
Agent Telson.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Agent Telson of the FBI. Now, being a member of the FBI, Lucky asking, you know, there's protocols for this stuff, right? You have an escape strategy. Yeah, but that's classified. Of course it is. Lucky ends up taking several cans of the peppers that the terrorist likes to eat so much, writes messages on them, throws them out the window, that hopes somebody will find them and rescue him. Which we are introduced to Fall Apart Rabbit. One of the characters in the Lucky episodes that in the first episode is introduced as Bonkers' stunt double from his days as a cartoon star.
Yeah.
They have this dinner, and because it's a cartoon, when they say a can of peppers, he literally puts in a can of peppers because cartoon.
Yeah.
And Bonkers and the gang find out that there are messages written on these cans, and all the cans have a message written on them except for one, And the can with the final word of the message is missing. They have no idea where it is. So they're trying to go all over the city. So they find out that Lucky's alive, but he's somewhere. They don't know where he is. And we are to find out, Miranda takes up to her chief, who is voiced by Ron Perlman.
Yeah. Good old Ron Perlman.
Again, these are characters from the Miranda episode. So, yeah, we have an entire season of a police chief voiced by Ron Perlman, who apparently also doesn't like Toons.
Go figure.
Because you need a character that doesn't like Toons in your Toon show about cops.
Well, I was more thinking, you know, the cops that are prejudiced against a particular type of people.
That has no relevance in 2020. None whatsoever. So, yeah, he wants nothing to do with Bonkers because he's a Toon. Even though he is a cop, he kind of doesn't respect him in any way. But they don't give up. They're going to try to find where Lucky is. And they ask Fall Apart where he found the cans. And they tell him by the observatory, which they go there to try to find more clues. They finally find the final can that said that Lucky's in the observatory. And too close for comfort, as the terrorist decides to send a rocket launcher and blow up Bonkers in his cop car.
Thank goodness for Toon logic.
Yeah, good thing he's a Toon, otherwise he'd be dead.
Yeah, the car is gone, but Bonkers has somehow survived because...
Yeah, because cartoons.
This is our second rather terrifying bombing bit in this episode.
Again, yeah, I don't know if this episode got banned after 9/11 or not.
Actually, it did, yeah. It basically was ripped off the air and was unavailable until they put it up on Disney+.
Which is weird considering this is the crossover episode. This is the episode that writes off Lucky and brings in Miranda. So if you were watching this episode like post 9/11, you would have no idea. One episode, there's this fat guy, and the other hand, there's this tall blonde woman. What happened? We don't know.
Yep.
So anyway, the terrorist, he's going to take his bomb. He's going to take Lucky, takes the FBI guy, and Miranda and Bonkers kind of jump in and try to defuse the situation. Luckily, to Toon logic again, Bonkers simply eats the bomb and he blows it up and he just burps because he's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Again, it's a good thing Bonkers is a cartoon. And they eventually...
I don't know why you would not use this power more in this world.
Yeah, yeah.
Because cartoons have superpowers in this world. Like, you basically can't kill them.
Mm-hmm.
They can ignore all the laws of physics whenever they want, basically. They can teleport to other locations, it seems.
They can, yeah, yeah. Cartoons can do anything.
Yeah,
there should be more cartoon cops in this show, honestly.
Yeah, why they wouldn't want just like an entire, you know, like a cartoon on every beat for in this world. Because they could do literally the impossible.
Yeah, they eventually capture the terrorist, and seeing what's going on, the FBI guy actually offers Lucky a job with the FBI. That Lucky finally gets his recognition. He finally gets that big promotion he's always wanted. And it's to the freaking Pentagon!
Yeah.
Can't get much of a promotion than that. Which means he has to move to Washington. So, since he is leaving, Bonkers now gets reassigned to be Miranda's partner because of how well they worked in finding Lucky and taking down the terrorist. Even now, no longer with the dim-witted chief, but now with the Toon prejudice chief, Ron Perlman chief.
Lateral and move, I guess.
Lateral at best. At least for as much as a hate-filled chief he is, he's still a competent cop. versus what this chief in Bonkers, the Lucky episodes, reminds me a lot of Comanette Lasard from Police Academy.
Or Dark Helmet from Spaceballs.
Yeah. Very leadership, is in a position of power, but has no idea how to do his job.
That's not relevant to anything right now at all either.
No.
Moving on.
Yeah, there's the big move. As Lucky is now moving to Washington. His entire family's going to Washington. And there's a nice little bit of a tearful goodbye there. Lucky gives Bonkers his police badge since he's no longer be needing it. They say, hey, you can always come out to Washington and, you know, we'll hang out and we'll come back for the holidays and stuff like that. It's a nice little goodbye between the two friends, and, you know, Lucky's on to bigger and better things working with the FBI in Washington. And Bonkers has a new chapter in his life as a cop with a new partner, Miranda Wright.
And also, Bonkers gets a promotion.
Yeah, he's no longer a rookie.
Yeah, he gets his actual officer badge. He's not a rookie anymore.
Yeah.
So let's get into the first proper solo Miranda episode we watched.
Witless for the prosecution. So in this episode, there is a money laundering scheme going on in Hollywood that the chief does not want to put Bonkers and Miranda on because, again, he doesn't like Bonkers. Even though Miranda feels like she would be the best person to be on that job. A woman that's the best person for the job denied, that has nothing to do with 2020 as well.
Nope.
So they decide to go to their favorite diner, get some burgers from the go, you know, as cops do. Because they're on the beat, they got to get something, and, you know, cops got to eat. Say what you will. And the change they get from their meal is a counterfeit bill, because apparently Washington's has the biggest, dopiest, doofiest grin on his face. And it turns out that the previous customer gave him that bill, which is the owner of the newspaper for the town.
Yeah, I love her name as well, Lilith Duprave.
Yeah, they make, for a bunch of people that are supposed to be human cartoons, they sure have cartoony names.
Yeah, the humans have more cartoony names than the actual toons do.
Yeah. So they end up, since the waiter actually knows the newspaper owner because she apparently goes there all the time, they are able to go to the printing press of the newspaper and arrest her. But unfortunately, she destroys all of the evidence of her counterfeiting. She's using the equipment of the newspaper to print counterfeit bills. And yeah, she just destroys all of the evidence, so there's nothing anyone can get on her. There's no evidence.
I don't know why she would need to counterfeit money. Journalism is a very lucrative profession.
In the 90s, it was.
Well, in the 90s, it wasn't exactly the most lucrative for most people, but it was at least sustainable.
Miss Newspaper Lady here is completely confident she will be acquitted of all charges because, hey, she's a celebrity. Who are you going to believe? The celebrity? Or, as she calls it, a discount meter maid? That's sexism.
But also, she's got a bit of an ace up her sleeve because she figures, well, they might believe her, but I can get around that by just sending an assassin to kill her.
That is a bad Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
Yeah. Send Discount Arnold to...
Again, this is the 90s. Terminator 2 was like the biggest movie of that era. Every 90s cartoon had an Arnold impersonator on it. Tiny Toons, you name it.
Oh, yeah.
So, because the only witness to the counterfeiting was Miranda, she has to be put into a safe house. But, apparently, because the assassin was able to get into police headquarters and try to kill her, they don't think that the police safe houses is a good idea, so they have to take her somewhere that not even the police know, which turns out to be Bonkers' house. And Bonkers, he's very excited for Miranda to stay at his place, but he doesn't understand that she's supposed to be in hiding, and he wants to throw a party to welcome her to the house.
Well, yeah, it's the first time she's over at his place. He wants to, like, introduce his new friend to his other friends. And...
yeah, but, he's making a lot of noise, and no one's supposed to know that she's there.
I think also, just, like, as we mentioned before, toons don't really seem to have the same concept of, like, death that humans do, so... understands the seriousness of, like, there is a guy trying to kill me.
Anyway, he starts getting a lot of noise in the party, which gets some of the neighbors involved, and again, no one's supposed to know Miranda's there, but now the entire Toon neighborhood knows Miranda's there. Great going, Bonkers.
Yeah. But we see another cool trick of cartoon logic. It's just the fact that he can take basically a backdrop of a beach scene, drag Miranda through it, and they're just on a beach.
Yeah, he wants to do something nice for Miranda because he feels that he upset her, which he kind of has, by doing the party. He wants to do something nice for her by taking her to the beach, but she can't go to it because she's supposed to be in protection. But hey, cartoon logic, we can go anywhere we want, which fits into the previous episode of them going into the hole in the previous episode.
Yeah. This also has another one of my favorite jokes from this run of episodes we watched, which is when he says, have like a ukulele concert at 9:30, and then we're gonna have the lava dance at 10. We're gonna have first aid at 10:05, and then we're gonna have feast at 10:30. I just love the idea of the lava dance followed immediately by first aid.
Yeah.
Great joke. Good job, writer of that joke.
And while Miranda is kind of appreciative of Bonkers' hospitality, she can't take living with the guy. She, like, again, they're good partners. Granted, this is the first episode of their partnership, but, she likes Bonkers, but she can't really stand living with the guy. Even calling the chief saying, hey, you got to get me out of here. But now, as they expected, all of the other police safe houses have been compromised because the assassin's been there.
Yeah, I think it's less the kind of, like, they're good friends, but they would make bad roommates thing, and more of a, she is a human, and Toons do not understand that humans and Toons run on different logic.
Yeah.
She wants, it's quiet now, I've got to sleep, and they're, like, trying to have a party, and, They're trying to make everything fun and silly and an adventure. And she's like, no, I want quiet.
Yeah. And even Bonkers tries to cook for her, and there's a big explosion because cartoon cooking, which again, really does set Miranda off, and
yeah,
Bonkers means well. I mean, he means well, but, and thanks to a little, Bonkers' own antics, the assassin realizes that Miranda is staying at Bonkers' house. We did skip over a part, though, as the assassin has gone into Miranda's own apartment and found the picture of her and Bonkers together, and he ends up staking out Bonkers' house, sees Miranda in the window, and because this is an Arnold impersonator, we need to get the Hasta la Vista baby out of the way.
Which strangely he's got the Hasta la Vista baby, and then a few minutes later Miranda uses the I'll be back
in Arnold's voice.
Yeah, in Arnold's voice, yeah.
Anyway, it's court day. She has to go to court to testify. And the assassins and a couple of goons are coming to Bonker's house to wreck poop up. But the other toons are there, and they're using their toon powers to kind of make sure that Bonkers and Miranda are able to get away and make it to the courthouse. Even throwing one of the goons into the beach portrait, and he's kind of stuck there because they rolled up the screen.
Yeah, and he doesn't know how to, you know, cross the barrier or whatever.
He's stuck there.
However that works.
So anyway, the assassin makes it up there. We get Miranda saying, "I'll be back," in a nice little fight scene between Miranda and the assassin as they crash into the courthouse as the case is about to be dismissed because Miranda is late for the case.
Yeah.
And as soon as she gets into the courthouse, she arrests the newspaper lady again because, hey, this lady just tried to kill me. So not only is she's guilty of counterfeit, she's accused of obstruction of justice and attempted murder. So she's
going away. Yeah, I mean, that's a long rap there.
Yeah. Yeah, and eventually of the episode, they have one more scene at Bonkers' house as Bonkers kind of wants to have another party, even overflowing the house and turning it into an ice rink for ice hockey. But yeah. Miranda, yeah, it's a nice little gag. And that's that episode.
She says no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She likes hanging out with the guy, but Bonkers gets to be a bit much. We all have that one friend that they're cool, but you can only handle them in increments. So we go to the final episode that we're going to be talking about. This one was the one that Vega really wanted us to review. Tokyo Bonkers.
This, like the first one out of her mouth when we were like, which episodes do you want us to do?
So Bonkers and Miranda has captured a toon villain, Zebot, I believe its name.
Yeah, Zebot.
And they have been signed with transporting the criminal back to the home country of Japan. Why are you having two beat cops do this? I don't know.
Yeah, but it seems like the idea is that Zebot escaped at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And was kind of an international criminal wreaking havoc. And only Japan has the technology to kind of contain this highly technological thing.
Well, yeah. So we find out about Zebot. Zebot used to be a star in Japan in a sort of Transformers-style cartoon. But when his show was canceled, ironically for Bonkers' show, his body was destroyed and his brain was able to become a criminal. And infect other mechanical devices, and he's become this international criminal.
Yeah,
I do like
this
that
thing. This thing really gave me a Krang from Ninja Turtles feel.
Yeah, the box looks exactly like R2-D2.
Yeah, the box is very R2-D2, but inside is kind of like Krang brain.
Yeah. But you know, that's a big thing. Why have these two beat cops from Hollywood and not have like a federal agent or something?
Who knows? Maybe it's because they needed a toon to transport. Because the whole episode kind of is about one toon can understand another.
Possibly. We just need to get Bonkers into Japan.
Yeah.
So we find out that Bonkers, despite his show being canceled, is still mega popular in Japan, with big stores selling his merchandise. His cartoons are still aired on television. And as soon as they land, all of these fans are just rush Bonkers. Remember when you can just go into an airport without having to buy a ticket?
Yeah.
Pre-9/11 world.
And also, Bonkers does a whole bunch of stuff on the plane that it's like, well, even with a cartoon, if you did that on a plane, even allowing for you're a cartoon, they would have immediately grounded that flight and arrested some people.
Yeah. So anyway, the Tokyo police is briefed on who Miranda and Bonkers are. The cops know Bonkers because, again, he's super popular in Japan. One of the cops, he's a big fan, even naming off several of his cartoons. They go through Z-Bot, how basically it's exposition for the audience of who Z-Bot is. So Z-Bot kind of tries to get Bonkers to open his containment case because, hey, I'm a big fan of yours. Can you give me an autograph? One tune to another. And Bonkers, this is Bonkers' own fame and glory path kind of biting him in the butt this whole episode. As he get, you know, this longing for this fame he used to have and that someone actually remembers him as a cartoon star. And he kind of plays into that a lot, especially with being in a country that really worships his fame. We meet a little girl that is like his number one fan and the president of his fan club.
Which in Japan is kind of saying something. The amount of absolute adoration we see for Bonkers. I mean, it's playing off the big in Japan trope.
Yeah.
But the level of fame he seems to unknowingly have in Japan means that this teenage girl or whoever she is like massively important.
She probably has watched Bonkers. Again, we're supposed to know that Bonkers has been a star for a while before becoming a cop, so it's probably she has watched Bonkers' cartoons her whole life.
Maybe.
We see Z-Bot's minions, the Ninja Kitties. Three of them are very serious. One of them is very goofy.
I love the Ninja Kitties because this was my favorite joke of the entire rewatch. It was like, you know, Z-Bot also has, his sidekicks, the Ninja Kitties. They are Rachmaninoff and Beethoven and, Bach. Whatever they name like it, Bach. And then he goes, and Ringo.
That, if that's not a joke against the Ninja Turtles, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean, it's very obvious a Ninja Turtle reference, but I just love that they're like, you know, three famous classical composers and Ringo. And I love that when they say and Ringo, there's like a drum riff in the background like this.
And Ringo is kind of like the dumb one of the four. Like all three Ninja Kitties, they bring out a sword, one brings out nunchucks, one brings out a double-sided axe, and the other one brings out a ball of yarn.
Yeah, I love everything about these four. They are amazing, and bravo to the writers for creating them.
So yeah, but because the Ninja Kitties kind of distract the Japanese cops, Bonkers and Miranda kind of don't get their ride directly to the station and kind of take a little detour into Japan. I love that the store, the big Bonkers store they find is called Hello Bonkers.
Yeah.
That is a joke right there.
The Hello Bonkers store was really good as well.
Yeah, just this whole, it feels like you're walking into pretty much a store at Disneyland with all of this merchandise of this one character.
Yeah.
And apparently Bonkers has never seen any of this merchandise in his life. There's lunchboxes, there's t-shirts, there's like a handheld video game that he breaks.
Okay, first of all, how bad is Bonkers' contract with his previous studio?
Yeah.
Seriously, like, he should be getting residuals for the stuff we see being sold in Japan.
Unless all of that went away when he was fired.
Yeah, but even when you're fired, usually most contracts still leave you residuals for stuff you've already done.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a silly cartoon show, but, like, it is made by people who are in this business. Shouldn't there? All I would have wanted was just one line of Bonkers being like, should I call my ass? Like, should there be money coming to me from this?
Yeah, I mean, one quick phone call of him calling his agent, like, hey, what's the deal? I should get money off this. But again, that's not the story that this episode is telling. And Bonkers kind of gets a little stargazing in his eyes, a little bit of that one of that lust for fame, and kind of gets caught up in the whole, now he has his fame back in a way. And Zeebot kind of takes advantage of this, in that there's a swarm of people. Once they see that Bonkers is there, they are swarming him. They're chanting his name. They want his autograph. And this want for the spotlight from Bonkers kind of overwhelms his own duties as a cop. And he just hands Zeebot's box as Zeebot says, hand it to those four kiddies over there. They seem like nice people. And he does so while he's signing autographs for all of these fans. And it's the Ninja Kiddies, obviously. And now the Ninja Kiddies have their boss back, and they're going to, cause havoc. According to Bonkers already knows what's going on. He's saying to the cops, hey, Zeebot was talking about trying to get back on TV again. Maybe we should go back to the TV studio. And they, preposterous. He was a TV star a long time ago. He has no desire to be a TV star again. We should go to this place. His last known hideout in Japan, he'll go back there. Which, from a cop standpoint, kind of makes sense. But, again, this is Bonkers tune to tune, trying to understand what a cartoon logic is. Yeah, a cartoon would want to get back their fame, no matter how long ago it was.
But also, how many... I think people that have ever had that level of fame, I'm not sure that... For most people, it goes away. You get the rare ones that, like, I've retired and I'll become a hermit on a private island somewhere. Mm-hmm. But those are really rare cases. Like, it's kind of why we always see older actors coming back and trying to, like, revitalize their career and stuff like that. I think once you've had that, you kind of you get used to it. Who wouldn't love that, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, the Japanese police chief straight up kicks Bonkers out of the precinct, saying, hey, cartoon, go be a cartoon, go be a cop. Cartoons shouldn't be cops. A little bit of the racism there. But again, that's kind of the overall theme of this entire show is humans don't think cartoons should be cops.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he finally, he decides he's, okay, if I'm not going to be a cop anymore, I'm famous in Japan. Comeback time, baby! So he goes to the TV studio, not to find Zeebot, but to try to get back on TV. And
he's doing a good job of it. They want him back. They're offering him a sweet deal.
Again, he is apparently, it says a lot about a TV show that has been canceled to still get ratings. And we've seen, there are old shows that are still getting aired on TV right now that still get decent ratings. I mean, there are people who still watch reruns of, like, Friends and stuff like that, and they want those shows to come back. So, yeah, the Bonkers reboot. And he's all for it. He's just, we'll negotiate a contract. All while the Japanese cop and Miranda, they're at Zeebot's old location. They can't find him. And as Bonkers was correct, Zeebot and the kiddies have kind of gone back to the TV studio and are trying to take it over. Well, not trying to. They actually do. They let Zeebot out of the box. Out of the box. Yeah. He, as you say, he looks like Krang from Ninja Turtles. And he's taken over the TV studio to air his old show.
Yeah, it's going to be an entire 24/7 network of him.
Yeah, he still wants that fame. He wants his old job back. And yeah, Miranda ends up convincing the police chief, hey, let's go back to the TV studios anyway. You know, he might be there. We might, you know, get Bonkers back. And they find that Z-Bot's there and they get captured. Yeah.
Because of course they do.
We need to get this story moving. It's only a half an hour show.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the executives are there with Bonkers. They want him to sign the contract and they'll start working on the show immediately. And Bonkers, he's all for it. He's about to sign the contract when Z-Bot takes over all of the TVs in Japan, saying he's going to air nothing but his cartoons. Also, he's going to broadcast the live murder of the Japanese chief and Miranda on live television. Because villain. But yeah. First, here's my cartoon. So,
I mean, you know, it would theoretically be good ratings if you could pull it off.
Yeah. So his instincts are kicking in. His own cop instincts are kicking in. And Bonkers goes to save Miranda because that's his friend. That's his partner. Is able to disconnect Z-Bot from the TV controls. And Z-Bot's out of there. He ends up getting on the fangirl's bike. We don't know how old this girl is, but apparently she's old enough to ride a motorcycle in Japan.
Yeah, I don't know what that age would be either, but I have a feeling she's like late teens, early 20s.
Yeah. There's a nice little gag here where they stop the cartoon to put on their helmets because this is a kid's show and you have to set a good example for the kids. This is why Darkwing Duck wore a helmet in those cartoons, because you need to show the kids that safety first.
Yeah, but I love how explicitly they do it in this one, where they turn and like both the hero and the villain turn and it's like, we need to be wearing our helmets. And then they look directly at the camera and they're like, because smart people always wear helmets when they're on a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's a definite dig at the censors. We need to get a moral in this episode. Okay, here's your moral and we're going to make it as blatant as possible.
Yeah.
And so they keep going. Bonkers gets the idea to drain the oil out of the motorcycle so it doesn't have any, so it can't move. Unfortunately, oil on a road, not good for our cops. Since Z-Bot can't control the bike anymore, he goes to the next robotic thing he can find, which is a giant animatronic Bonkers from the top of the Hello Bonkers store.
Yeah. The image of Bonkers fighting a giant of himself from his old show.
It's Bonkerzilla!
It's Mecha
Bonkerzilla. And of course, it's a Japanese episode. You have to have your giant monster because, yeah.
Yeah.
So Bonkers, he knows he can't beat Z-Bot traditionally, so he appeals to him tune to tune, takes out the very contract that he was about to sign and saying, hey, we can get you back on TV right now. All you have to do is sign on the dotted line and you have your show back. Appealing to that ego, and it works. Z-Bot actually goes down to sign the contract and Bonkers traps him inside the very jack-in-the-box that he got from the store.
Yeah, I mean, it just gets in there and traps him straight up with the jack in the box, which I love. And I love that they did set that up.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a Chekhov's jack in the box for the entire episode, that he's been carrying that around with him.
Yep, he gives it to the cops and he's hailed a hero. Again, the most popular cartoon in Japan just saved the day. And he decides that fame is great and on all, but his calling is being a cop. He wants to help people, and he wants to just stay being a cop. So he gives up the Bonkers reboot to just go back to being a cop, and that's the episode.
Yeah, it's a good one to end on. It really kind of wraps up his story arc, even though it wasn't intended to.
Yeah. It's weird how these five episodes kind of had an overarching story here. Wasn't intended, but it kind of works out that way. Yeah, so it kind of goes back to what we were saying before. Bonkers just wants to help people. Yes, he wants to be famous again, but you know, he gets more satisfaction of being a cop than he does being a TV star.
Yeah, I do. There's a lot of character growth for Bonkers, even though they didn't really seem to intend it.
Mm-hmm.
At least within kind of a few of the episodes, they try to show some real depth to the character. But that being said, I kind of feel that character development is a rather pale imitation of the thing that it's kind of obviously a ripoff of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Roger Rabbit was able to get more character development in a 2-hour movie than this thing gets in an entire series.
But this is also very episodic storytelling. You need to reset to square one at the end of every episode. And this was 5 days a week. So you kind of have that. But this is kind of not the end of the Bonkers character, as he's shown up in DuckTales. The new DuckTales. As in the most recent episode with Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, he does show up as a cop in St. Canard, yeah.
So there's a possibility. I mean, they have Jim Cummings as a guest character, as a guest voice actor on this show. We could have Bonkers come back as a main character in this show. I wouldn't mind having Bonkers as a cop.
I don't think that's terribly likely.
I did like the nice little, I mean, him as a cop is a nice nod. It feels like their intention is to get as many Disney Afternoon characters in this new DuckTales show as possible. Like, we're not going to see Miranda or Lucky because they make it in the DuckTales world, humans don't exist. So we're not going to, unless they want to turn Miranda or Lucky into another animal. I wouldn't mind a single episode where we have Bonkers as a cop helping out in some kind of sort of case. Or he's like a speaking cameo. And yeah, not just like, go ahead.
If he comes back at all, I think it's going to be a very short thing. It's going to be like one scene where he's got a couple of speaking lines, or at most a single episode.
Yeah.
I do not feel that this character is popular enough to really sustain like a reboot, you know?
Stranger things have happened. But like I said, I kind of laughed when I saw that episode. I have not seen all of the episodes of the new DuckTales, but I did check out the Darkwing Duck episode. And it was kind of fun. And again, I did take a laugh when all of the villains were attacking poor Bonkers. Again, another a Jim Cummings character being in an episode based on a Jim Cummings character.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though they have a new voice for Darkwing. But yeah, I wouldn't mind doing something with Bonkers. But it's no fault of his own as a character, but he will always be seen as a pale imitation of Roger Rabbit. I know there are people who love this show, but that's kind of something that everyone who watches this show has to admit.
Yeah, and I think it's perfectly valid to like the show for its own thing. But I think it's also valid if you watched this show and you couldn't really get over that aspect of it.
Yeah.
For me personally, it's a lot... I like the episodes a lot better with Miranda.
Me too.
Because with Lucky in there, it is just too much Roger Rabbit.
Agreed.
Because Lucky is just so much supposed to be the Bob Hoskins character, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a less likable version of that character, in my opinion.
It's also without the character growth. Like with Eddie Valiant, you realize that he used to be a very funny person. He used to be a clown. and the death of his brother just turned him into this sourpuss character until he reaffirms, he once again finds his sense of humor and becomes a better person.
Yeah.
With Lucky, he kind of never has that at all. He, like, cartoons are the furthest thing from his mind. He doesn't even know who Bonkers is when he first meets him, because he doesn't watch cartoons. And he doesn't change that at all. And a lot of that has to do with the square one episodic television method of everything needs to reset at the end. So he never gets the character growth that Eddie Valiant gets. And he just becomes a less likable character because of it.
Yeah. He's got his moments, but overall, I like Miranda as a character. I want to tell you something. We talked a little bit about our personal relationships to the show, and I said that I watched it, but it was kind of just because it was in the block. When we were discussing doing this episode, when we asked Vega what she wanted to do, and we were discussing it kind of behind the scenes, her, like, which do you favor, Miranda episodes or Lucky episodes? Mm-hmm. And I will be honest that I did not remember what that meant. I had no idea what you were talking about until I, like, went and looked it up. And I went, like, oh, right. He does have two different partners, and they are basically two very different shows in tone and, you know, all this stuff. But the only thing I remembered about Bonkers between watching it when it was originally on air, mm-hmm. and now, Bonkers. Yeah, totally nuts. Bonkers. No whips, ands, or buts, and I don't really remember the rest of the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's that one little line is the entire show to me, other than he's a cop.
Mm-hmm.
This show, for me personally, made no impression on Kid Me.
So let's kind of talk about this as particular of this rewatch. Is this, does Bonkers have the magic?
I'm going to say no. I think if you don't have nostalgia for this show, it's not.
I'm going to say at least for the Miranda episodes, I felt there's something there. But as an overall show, I'm going to say no, it's pretty forgettable. And then, again, it's discount Roger Rabbit. Whether the creators intended it to be or not, if you watch, again, if you were the age that we were when we saw this movie, we had already seen Roger Rabbit. So this is essentially trying to do Roger Rabbit without Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, and I like what it tried to be. I respect that they brought in a lot. We didn't really talk about it except with the first episode we talked about, but they brought in a lot of Disney characters in this.
Ludwig von Drake. We talked about the Mad Hatter, the March Hare. Donald Duck was in the first episode. There's one episode with Mickey Mouse in it. So it's like they...
And they even brought in some of the newer characters from the Disney Renaissance. There are, you know, bits about the Little Mermaid and stuff in this thing. But it's not that it's a bad show, necessarily. I've definitely seen worse cartoons. I think we were much harder on, like, the Wuzzles as a show, just the two of us. There were parts of this that I did find funny. Like, I don't remember laughing at the Wuzzles at all during our rewatch, mm-hmm. but this I did. You know, there were jokes that I legitimately liked, and I was like, you know what, that was a really creative idea that you came up with. But I think under the shadow of Roger Rabbit, I never personally find shows about cops to be interesting. I just don't like a police procedural as a thing. So even when it's like, you know, I'll watch a few things, like if it's like, well, vampires and cops or something, but I'll kind of just suffer through the cop part to get to the vampires. And with Bonkers, it's like I'm suffering through the cop part to get to slapstick comedy, which is not a thing I hate necessarily, but it's not what will, like, make me show up, you know? I'm not the biggest slapstick fan. Mm-hmm. So at this point, it's like, hey, do you want to watch a cop show that's also slapstick? It's like, no.
If this straight up was a Roger Rabbit cartoon, I think it would be you could probably get through the cop stuff a little bit better.
Well, yeah, the Roger Rabbit stuff didn't hit me as bad because he's not really a cop. Like, yeah, Eddie is a former cop, but now he's mostly just kind of he's just a private detective, and, you know, he just goes and looks into things for money, and I don't know. I've got less of a problem with that. But, I don't know, I want to like this show more than I do. And I don't know why that is. Like, there's part of me that, especially in the Miranda episodes, I really want to like this show. But at the same time, I just can't get over the kind of multiple failings it had. Like, the different, like, why were there Lucky episodes and Miranda episodes?
Yeah, I mean, like, the Miranda episodes aired first. And I guess someone at Disney did not like what those episodes were, or maybe they did not get the ratings that they were hoping for, and they felt that a male cop would have done better. Also, the art style of the Miranda episodes and the art style of the Lucky episodes are very different. The Miranda episodes are more colorful, more bright, and the Lucky episode is more trying to do more realistic colors, especially with the human characters.
Very odd. The kind of, it's like they shoved two different shows together.
They really did. I mean, with a recurring
character. Yeah.
It's like watching DuckTales and then Darkwing Duck, and then they both have Launchpad as a central character.
Yeah. I don't know. It was such a bizarre concept. I think it's very much of its time. I'm not sure it's ever going to come back in any meaningful form.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got nostalgic feelings for it, it's on Disney Plus. Go treat yourself. I don't know. It just didn't hit for me.
There's something in these shows. There's something in this show. Like I said, I felt more of liking more of the Miranda episodes than the Lucky episodes. And I think because Miranda, like I said, it's different. It's different enough from the Roger Rabbit mold that, especially with having a woman cop as opposed to having the sourpuss detective male cop, it's different enough that, yeah, you can clearly see the inspiration, but it's trying to do its own thing. And with the Lucky episodes, it's pretty much trying to recreate the Eddie Roger dynamic, which doesn't always work. It works for the episodes that we've seen, and there's definitely heart in this show. Whoever made these episodes really, really liked what they were doing. Just that little bit that is, I think it's just going back to episodic TV after more recent shows, especially cartoons, have had that overall storytelling that goes over the entire season.
Yeah, I think my ideas of what a cartoon should be are very different now. I want it to either be completely standalone, you know, shorts,
mm-hmm.
or I want it to be an interconnected story. But this kind of, there was kind of a middle ground in a lot of these shows where it's like, well, they're kind of like 22-minute shorts, and we might reference it in later episodes, or we might not, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's our own opinions on Bonkers. So let's move on to what we're doing next week. We've kind of mentioned that a new Star Wars holiday special is coming. Kiki, it's time.
Oh no.
It's time to celebrate Life Day.
Do we have to?
Why not? There's a new Star Wars holiday special. Let's take a look at the original Star Wars holiday special. Which is going to be difficult because it's not on Disney Plus.
In fact, it's not where legally.
Unless you're buying it from, like, Rift Tracks. And even then, it's only with the Rift Tracks commentary.
Yeah, that is, yeah, we'll get into that next week. But this is both a very easy thing to find and a very difficult thing to find, depending on the way you look at it. So, we're going to, go out into the wastelands of the internet and, track down a copy, and we will suffer for your enjoyment.
Stir whip. Yeah, so join us next week as we'll be talking about the Star Wars holiday special, and we will talk to you all next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Rewatching the Magic. We invite you to keep the magic going by joining the conversation online. Find us on Facebook at Rewatching the Magic, on Twitter at Rewatch the Magic, and, of course, find all new episodes at rewatchingthemagic.podbean.com. Until next time, remember, the magic is for everyone. It only stops if you let it.